wrapping up the first ever student revival week here tonight, and I just wanted to let you guys know that tonight's really focusing on being a night of celebration. And so after I finish speaking, if the Lord's been laying anything on your heart throughout the week, or you have a scripture or a prayer that you just want to share, we want to invite you to just come up. Dan Bear will be down here with a microphone, and you can just come up and let him know that you'd like to share, and he'll go ahead and let you. So as we've been going through this week, I'm sure many of you, like me, have been asking yourself the question, what am I pursuing? And when I ask myself that question, I also have to ask myself, how do I answer that? And I think a good way that I answer that is by finding out where I spend a lot of my time. When I think of a pursuit, I think of a car chase, like in all the movies. And without gas, that car can go nowhere. And without my time put into something, whatever I'm pursuing is going to go nowhere. So as I look back on my past, I've done a good job of organizing my time, getting my schoolwork done, being to work on time, having time with friends. But when it came to God, I wasn't really giving him the time that he deserved. I was still pursuing God amidst pursuing relationships, work, good grades, and pleasing other people, but the time that I was giving him was tainted. Just like when you put water in a gas tank, it's eventually going to burn out. That's what happened to me. When I was pursuing God, the time that I came to him with was often filled with exhaustion because it was the end of the day, or a lot of times it was tainted because I was focusing too much on appearances. Like many of you, I've grown up in the church, and I learned what I had to do and what I had to say to look like the good Christian girl. And so I could do the right things, and I could say the right things, and I could get by looking like I was doing just fine. My time with God was also tainted by legalism. It was really easy to just get caught up in doing community service, especially when trying to pursue college and get applications filled out in high school. And just being a leader in the church and everything, God became just another standard to live up to, just like my parents and my teachers and my friends had standards. But at the beginning of my senior year, I kind of hit a brick wall. Everything that I had been pursuing with the relationships, the work, the good grades, the friendships, everything just kind of came crashing down around me. The grades weren't what I needed anymore. They weren't satisfying me, and I wasn't getting the grades I should have. My relationships and my friendships were dissolving because I wasn't putting the time into them, and I wasn't putting the time into my relationship with God to learn how to love them accurately. Work didn't really matter. It wasn't satisfying me in any way. So I finally just fell to pieces. I had taken so much pride in pursuing these things, and then I just realized, you know what, they're nothing. But it was through those times that I saw such a sharp contrast. I saw how empty I felt and how dead I felt after pursuing those things. And then I just remember crying on my bed every night and just finally encountering God, and just the contrast between how empty I had felt before and how dead and how full I now felt and how alive was just amazing to me. I was faced with a complete spirit of brokenness, but that was so much better than all the pride I had had in all these other things. I've learned that the things I was pursuing were not bad necessarily. I just needed to pursue God through them. I needed to use my mind and my heart in order to pursue him. I needed to do everything as unto the Lord because I wasn't living quite like that. When I realized all these things, I saw God in a new light. I no longer saw him as just another standard to live up to, and I no longer saw him as a judge. But I realized, as Tristan put it this morning, that God doesn't love me because I have worth and value. I have worth and value because God loves me. I've been trying to find my worth and my value in all these other things by living up to what other people thought I should be, and it wasn't doing anything for me. But over this past summer, I saw God now as my true prince who was constantly pursuing me. I wasn't the traditional fairy tale princess locked in a tower. I wasn't some victim, but I was my own villain. But still, my prince chased me. I was slapping him in the face and turning and running towards other things, and he was still chasing me down, and he was still loving me. As God was teaching me all this, he revealed to me Psalm 86, verses 10 through 13, which say, "For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave." I realized during that time that, yeah, I had been kind of pursuing God, but I wasn't giving him an undivided heart. I was giving him the bits and pieces that were left after I had sacrificed it to my idols. I realized that he really had delivered me from the depths of the grave, but it was a grave that I had dug for myself. I realized through those verses that I needed God to pursue me first so that he could be the one to give me an undivided heart. Since that time, I've seen so many examples of how he's constantly pursuing me. Growing up in the church, I had some spiritual support, but I felt like I was pretty much left on my own if I wanted to grow spiritually. I had learned how to put on the mask and say the right things and answer the right questions so that people wouldn't dig too deeply into my life and they would think that I was doing okay. But on coming to Asbury, I was surrounded with a fellowship that I'd never quite received before. I had random people that would come up to me and ask me how I was doing and would offer to pray for me. And I loved being able to just sit after chapel and pray with random girls from my hall or just different people that I know. God's also shown me how much he loves me every time I walk outside and see his stars. They make me think of when he told Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I can't help but think that he chose one of those stars to represent me. Another passage that God really spoke to me through after I came to Asbury was Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. When I came to Asbury, I kind of thought I had it all down spiritually, and I kind of slacked off on my spiritual life. For a few weeks, I experienced a dryness that I wish I hadn't, and God kind of woke me up and said, "You know what, you still need to be pursuing me." And he reminded me once again how much he loves me in these verses. "But now, this is what the Lord says, 'He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, 'Give them up,' and to the south, 'Do not hold them back.' Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." When I look at these verses, I can't help but see how God's been pursuing us past, present, and future. He's pursued us in the past. Like it says in verse 1, "I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name." And in verse 7, "whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." I know that he knew me before I was even born, before I even knew that there was a Christ who came to save me. And he's been passionately pursuing me since since before I even existed. He's pursuing me here and now and today. In verse 4, it says, "You are precious and honored in my sight." And later on in that verse, it says, "I love you." In verse 5, he says, "I am with you." And he's going to continue to pursue me in the future. In verse 2, it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." It's so encouraging to me to know that his pursuit of us just doesn't end. It's here and it's now. It has always been and it always will be. So I can't help but ask myself, what should my response be? I've learned that I need to take those things that I had been pursuing and turn them into ways of pursuing him. I need to take the mind that he's given me and use it in my schoolwork and in any jobs that he gives me to glorify him. I need to take the friendships and relationships that he gives me to encourage other people and love him more. He gives us so many opportunities to pursue him, but oftentimes we end up getting caught up in our own pride and selfish motives. But I've realized that when I pursue God, those other things I once wanted to pursue will fall away, and my priorities and my desires will change. I've learned that as I pursue him, he gives me a joy and a peace far greater than I ever imagined. And I'm so excited about the things that he's been doing, not only in my life, but just in this campus. So I just want to challenge all of you guys to just pursue him with all that you are. I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're pursuing other things. Maybe he's calling you to give those things up completely, or maybe he's just calling you to pursue him through those things. But I just want to call you to celebrate his pursuit of us and to just delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of his heart. Or of your heart, sorry. But that's all. Thank you.
Amen. We have some time now that's built into our service where you all have the opportunity to edify, to build up your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you feel like God is burning on your heart, a prayer, scripture, a short story of what God has been doing in your life through this week, I would ask that you come up and share with us. This time is for you. So please, this is the time. Come on up.
Hello, Asbury. My name is Ben McCain, and I have a verse that has been on my mind for quite a while. In fact, I've shared it with the guys in my hall, with the guys in my small group, and various friends. So I apologize if this is redundant for any of you, but it never loses its power for me. So I'm going to share it with you. It's just a simple verse from Psalms, one single sentence, actually. It's found in Psalm 17:15, and it says, "I will not be satisfied until I awake in your likeness." And so David is saying that, yes, there's going to be a day when we're going to be wholly perfect in the likeness of Christ. We're going to wake up with glorified bodies, and, you know, everything, every sin, death, there will be no corruption there to mar who we are in Christ. Everything is going to be perfect. But until that day, David is saying that he is in pursuit of Christ's likeness. And, you know, I don't know what that means for us. It may mean that we need to spend more time reading or in prayer. It may mean that we need to look for ways to serve the people around us or sacrifice things that are too important to us and keeping us from growing in our relationship with Christ. But what God has been challenging me to do over the past year since I discovered this verse is not to give up on that pursuit, to not be satisfied. Don't become complacent and don't become content with where you are, where I am. That's what I want to do. So Asbury, just join me in this pursuit of not being satisfied until we are completely like Christ.
Amen. Good word. Thanks, man.
All right. Hey, I'm DJ Ennis, and I just feel like I need to say that, like, that God, I've just been really seeking God, and I've just been really finding him, so I just encourage you guys that if you ask for something, you're going to get it from God, like, if it's his will. And if you seek God, you're going to find him. So I just want to encourage you guys to do that.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm Chris Michelotti, and I've just been really thinking about what I'm pursuing and stuff with this week going on, and I've been finding I've been pursuing my future way more than I've been pursuing God. And I know that's something that we can become so blinded with at college. And, you know, I know it's right to, you know, want to be in God's path and want to do all these great things for God. But sometimes I just feel like, you know, I and maybe some other you guys out there become so focused on the future and what God can do in your life then, and what you could do for the glory of God then. And there's so many things in the Bible that tells us to not only worry about tomorrow, but to worry about today and to grow today. And I just feel like that's been on my heart to share with all of you guys and just really try to focus on God today in your life right now. So.
So this whole week, obviously, we've been focusing on what are you pursuing? So my question was, I want to pursue God, but how do I do this? And like 20 minutes before I came here, I just had this epiphany, I suppose you could say, and it was just like, God is in every single moment. And God is with us in every single step of the way. And it was just weird because it was like, hey, God's in my classroom. God's with me when I'm working out. God is with me when I'm eating lunch. God is with me when I'm hanging out with my roommate. He's there at every single step, and he just wants to hang out with us. You know, he wants to be our best friend and just wants to be near us. And that's what we need to do, is just talk to him like a best friend. Just be there and hang out with him like he's our best friend, because he should be. And he's there in every moment. And I've really learned that I need to be excited for my alone time with God, because I've kind of looked at it as this is something I have to do in order to grow, blah, 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 blah. But I've just learned that this is my alone time with God. This is my one-on-one where he's giving me time, just me. And we need to be excited for that and learn that God loves us, and that even just walking to class, we can just tell him that we love him, and it'll make his day and it'll make our day 100 times better.
Hey, everyone. That's really loud. Sorry. I'm Christy. And as everyone knows, like most of my friends know, Jerusalem is something that's really on my heart. And I was reading in the newspaper, Jerusalem Post, and I was reading a story about these Muslims that took a car full of girls. It was a whole family, and it was the mom and 3 daughters, and the mom was pregnant, and they killed them and did horrible things to them, and they were on their way to see their dad, and they were waiting for them because they were going to go out for the day and have a big celebration. It was Purim last year, and they're going to celebrate it. And in Jerusalem, when you die, you have the funeral the same day. And the guy, the father, after he found out that all of his family had died, and he had all daughters, and his wife was pregnant with his only son, and he was an Orthodox, so it's like a big deal when you have a son. And at his funeral, at all their funerals, he read this verse. This is all he said the whole time. "Is naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." And that's Job 121. And when I heard that story, all I could think about was how I don't even have that strength. I mean, I always have to remember, and I want to encourage all of you guys to always remember that everything here is God's. Nothing is ours. And I mean, God's going to give us stuff and God's going to take us away, but no matter what, we need to praise the Lord. I mean, we really have nothing here. Everything is his. So that's about it.
Let's just pray together. Lord, we just come to you, just yearning for unity, Lord. Father, we might just be united for the cause of Christ. Lord, I just pray over the hearts in this room, Lord, that we might just speak the words in Isaiah as our anthem, Lord, that yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your truth, we wait eagerly for you, for your name and renown are the desire of our souls. Father, I just pray for a world that needs to be reconciled to you, Lord. Your word says that when it leaves, it won't return to you empty, Lord. And I just pray that you might just use us as your vessels for that to happen. Oh, Lord, I just pray just for brokenness. Father, I pray that you continue to just break our hearts. Just for what breaks yours, just open our hearts, open our minds. Father God, I just pray for facades and masks and pride and things of the earth, Lord, to just be stripped away. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just claim that those things don't have to have power over us, Lord, but that we can pursue you, Lord, that we can set our minds on things above and not of earthly things. Oh, Father, we just come to you as just people, nothing without you, Lord, but together, united in the cause of Christ, Lord, we know that we're a mighty, 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 oh, just a mighty people, Lord. I pray that you'll just continue to raise up warriors just for your kingdom, for the cause of Christ, Lord. There's broken people, and I pray that we wouldn't just contain it to ourselves, Lord. Father, that your truth would just be stamped on our lives. Father, that people would see us and they would just see Jesus. Father, I pray that we would carry Jesus in the way that we speak, in the way that we carry ourselves. God, I just pray for reconciliation of relationships that need to be had. I pray for reconciliation of a people back to you, Lord. Father, I just pray that we would just get for real about you. Lord, just continue to, like Psalm 86 says, Lord, teach us in your ways, for we are devoted to you. Give us an undivided heart, God, an undivided heart, not of things of this earth, God. I pray that we just can just get rid of the pursuit of things of this earth, Lord, that we would each find our intrinsic value comes in you and you alone. Father, we just praise you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Lord, I just pray that you receive that glory in this place tonight. Father, as children just crying out to you, wanting to see change, Lord, I pray that we might just carry Jesus as we go. Just continue to be in this place, Lord. Continue to touch our hearts just with the words of your truth, God. I praise you. Thank you for your word. Lord, just may it be stamped all over us, that we might just be Jesus to the broken. Amen.
Hey, so, that's loud. I've got really like 1.5 million things that I would love to tell y'all, but obviously we don't have time for that. Don't worry. But one thing that God's really been laying on my heart I don't know, this Christmas break, a little bit before, right around Thanksgiving, God really just started grabbing a hold of my heart. As a lot of other people on this campus. And I've seen God move individually in so many different lives in dramatic, powerful ways that that is just amazing. Everyone hearing stories, let me know. But this Christmas break, as I was praying for our campus, and I was praying that God would come and that we would finally start to just open our eyes and see what God's been offering us for so long. Because a lot of times we look to the side, we are scared to just, stare Jesus back in the face, and that's really just what he wants. He just wants our attention and our pursuit, like we've been talking about, but anyway, so as I was praying for all of this, for our campus this Christmas break, God gave me a picture of what this campus is really like. A lot of times, I don't know, a lot of us have grown up in Christian homes, and so we tend to have a more, like, legalistic view of God a lot of times without realizing it. But I saw all of us here on campus walking towards chapel, and we were all going at, 10 o'clock, like 9:50, all right, we got to go do our thing. And so we were all gathering here, but I looked around, and everybody was in chains. And God was telling me, and there were so many people that their shackles and their chains were free, yet we were still walking in them. We wouldn't look down enough. We've been crying out to God so long and been like, hey, Lord, help me. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. I don't know what to do, just really lost. But we had never, took enough time to look down and see that we were free. And I think a lot of times we've already been given that freedom, and we either don't look down and see that we are free, or we're scared to step out in that freedom because we don't necessarily know what that means, because we've been trapped by our chains so long that it's almost comfortable. And so I just encourage y'all that as you're just reflecting over this week and over things that God's been telling you and that kind of thing, just look down. Look and see. God's already freed you. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God's given us freedom. We don't have to be sins to slave anymore. Or slaves to sin. Did I say that backwards? I think I did. But anyway, so I just encourage y'all to look and just realize that we don't have to be stuck, doing the same sin over and over again. Yeah, we're not perfect. That's a whole other thing. But just look down. So. Amen.
Tonight we claim that freedom. Tonight we have come and we claim that freedom. We look down, we see that our feet and our hands are open, and they're free to praise the Lord. So what do? We lift them up and praise to him for what he's done for us. And I thank you all so much for sharing the burden of your heart tonight. If you feel like God has laid something on your heart and you haven't had the chance to share it, I would encourage you to still do so. You don't need a microphone and you don't need an audience to share the burden of your heart. You can do that every day as you interact with your brothers and sisters. The messages that we have are just as edifying and needful in those times as they are right now. We're going to move into a time of communion. And as I was thinking about what the Lord has done for us, I open up the scriptures to Matthew 26, and it says in verse 17, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. What a beautiful picture of pursuit. Jesus comes to the city of Jerusalem. And I can just imagine this man, we don't have his name, sitting in his home thinking about this festival that is about to come, hearing about this great teacher that is about to enter the city, and thinking to himself, "Man, I wish I could just meet him. I wish I could just know him." And then Jesus' disciples come to him. They knock on his door and they say, "Hey, would it be all right if we had Passover feast with you? Because Jesus wants to eat it with you." Tonight, Jesus is knocking on our door. And he's saying, "Hey, can I come in? Can I eat the feast with you? Can I share myself with you?" See, the reason we have this freedom that Julia was talking about is because of that thing right there. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he held it before his disciples and he said, "Look at this. This is my body." He broke it and he gave it out to each one. He said, "Eat. This is my body broken for you." And in the same manner, he took the cup and he held it out and he said, "Come, this is for you. This is my blood shed for you. This is the blood of the new covenant." In the next few days, I'm sure the disciples were wondering what that meant. As Jesus died. And here we are in the middle of Lent, and how perfect it is that we pursue Christ, and tonight he comes to us and he says, I live, and I've given you this feast that you might be free. How much did God pursue us? How much did he love us? That much. So tonight we're going to share in communion. This table is open for all. No one is excluded. The only thing that we are told that we must do is to examine our hearts. And so I would encourage you all to examine your heart before you receive. Come to the altar, pray. Pray in your seats. Pray after you receive. But do not take the bread and the wine lightly, but do it with a thankful and a reverent heart for the pursuit that God has given for you. You'll be receiving by intiction. You'll take a piece of the bread and dip it in the wine. And after you receive, know that you've been set free. Would the servers please come forward that they might receive?